last month, I set out into the Trinity Alps for a backpacking pilgrimage with 10 other clergy. The rugged terrain towered above us with these massive granite spires that left me feeling like an ant. The climbs were steep and long. It seemed at times like the trailblazers thought that building switchbacks was a waste of time. There were multiple places where the actual paper map said, "Trail is difficult to locate here." And indeed, the trail disappeared altogether. At the tops of those climbs, though, looking out over so many stacked horizons, it was worth it. The days were warm and the nights were cool. The moon was full and our food was excellent. We were having a fantastic time. On Tuesday night, one of our fearless leaders shared that there was just a bit of a possibility of rain forecasted toward the end of the week. We groaned, but we didn't worry too much. Still, we agreed to push forward a little bit faster than planned the next day, just to give ourselves options. By Wednesday evening, the forecast for Friday was 33 degrees, with a 100% chance of rain and snow. We decided to go ahead and hike out Thursday afternoon, a day early. In the wee hours of Thursday morning, the wind began. It picked up suddenly, and it roared through the trees. Around 3 a.m., the wind blew so hard that it uprooted the stakes of my tent, which collapsed on me. And I crawled out, and I banged the stakes back into place, and I gave thanks that the sky was clear. An hour or two later, I woke again as I heard the first drops of rain. The rain was not pounding, but it grew steadily. By about 7 a.m., it had not let up, and from our tents, we hollered to one another, agreeing that it was time to pack up and go home. And so I stuffed all my gear into my pack there, still inside my tent, and then I finally emerged to begin tackling my soggy, soggy tent. By the time it was down, but before it was in its stuff sack, my hands were frozen. The rain continued. The wind whipped fiercely. I discovered that my rain gear was much more worn out than I had realized. My teeth began to chatter, and huddled under a tree as the others finished packing up, I began to cry. I was just so cold. Finally, we began hiking, and I began to wonder at what point your fingers are so cold that you lose them. Mine had gone from hurting to numb to barely being able to move them at all. Would they be frostbitten, I wondered? Gangrene? I didn't know much about either condition, but I silently worried. And since we were hiking through dense fog, really we were not just in fog, we were in the cloud, we stopped maybe 20 minutes down the trail to make sure that we still had the whole group. And while we were stopped, my buddy Stephen offered me his gloves. I thanked him, and I said I'd be fine. And some time later, by which point I was quite confident that I would end up losing some fingers, Stephen offered me his gloves again, this time a little more insistent. And again, I thanked him, and again, I refused. We hiked on. In today's gospel, Jesus assures us that things are going to be hard. This is not prescriptive. He's not saying it needs to be this way, but his teaching is descriptive. He sees the world. He understands how it works, how it doesn't work, and sometimes that it is frightening and painful. The people listening to him are gazing up at the stunning temple, and they are perplexed. It is a beautiful sight. Herod the Great had led its renovation and its expansion. It took 80 years and massive wealth and strength to complete this. So what was Jesus talking about? How could all this come down? But the people who were listening to Luke's gospel when it was first written down, they knew. In the intervening decades, the Romans had destroyed this very temple. All that grandeur, all that they believed was permanent, gone. The promise was never that it wouldn't be hard to follow Jesus. The promise is that God will be with us, come what may. The promise is that when things are deeply challenging, God will provide. That when we are lost and falling, God will buoy us up. How difficult it can be to accept that provision. Jesus highlights the many ways that life can fall apart as the world turns, and especially as we seek to follow him. Wars, famines, earthquakes, persecution, betrayal, death. It is enough to make any of us duck for cover and then turn and run the other way. And still, almost unbelievably, there is good news here. He promises that he will give us the wisdom we need to make our way through, and that in the fullness of time, by our endurance, we will gain our souls. At first hearing, it sounds like one of the old teachings about faith being rooted in suffering. As in, just keep carrying that awful cross, whatever it is for you, and you will get your reward in heaven. Or it can take the painful shape of always looking for silver linings, trying to justify someone's pain by pointing to the good that might ultimately come from it. And then there's the tricky twist that lives in our up by your bootstraps culture, where the idea of endurance can conjure visions of CrossFit and ultramarathons. And while I am sure that these feats do require collaboration, the message tends to focus on the individual. That you alone must train and work really hard. The focus is on grit, on determination, on digging deep and then pulling it off by yourself. I do not believe any of this is what Jesus is talking about. If we are to endure, we are to endure together. But on that rainy, windy morning at all of 36 degrees Fahrenheit, my mind was not on God's providence, nor on the truth that endurance is necessarily something that binds us together. My mind was on grit, on determination, on toughing it out myself. I actually did have a pair of gloves. Hot pink fleece gloves that I have had for nearly 25 years, but I had stowed them in my pack before we began hiking that morning, knowing that as soon as they got wet, they would be useless. And maybe because I had gloves that I was not wearing, even though they were essentially useless, I could not accept the kindness of my friend who was generously offering to take his off and give them to me. I had not said out loud that I was now fearfully entertaining the possibility, the very real likelihood, I thought, of amputation. But Stephen could see the pain and the worry in my eyes. He knew I was struggling, and I just could not bring myself to say yes. Instead, I gritted my teeth and I tearfully continued on through the cloud, hoping that the steady climb would slowly warm me up. How hard it is to accept help. The trials and hardship and destruction, all these are inevitable. The question before us is how we will respond. And maybe most particularly, at least for me, the question is how we will accept the provision that God extends. When things seem to be crumbling around us, how can we welcome help? Let someone give us a hand. Agree to a way forward with a little more ease. I wish that I had gratefully and humbly taken his gloves. In hindsight, I know that it would have been good not just to be more comfortable, but to be more connected with my friend through his offer of this straightforward love. Whatever happened to my fingers, I have them all. Whatever happened to them, though, it would have been good for my heart to let Stephen help me. Of course, it wasn't just this one time with the gloves. There are so many times that I struggle to stop going it alone and let this grace enter in for me. And I hope that next time, and I know there will be many of one sort or another, I hope that next time I will reach to just say yes and thank you. This, I think, is how we really endure and how we are given our souls in their fullness, by linking arms and doing it together. By feeding others and allowing them to feed us. By letting God's wisdom arrive and move through us when we're not sure how we'll find the right words. By letting grace buoy us up when the world threatens to sink us. Yes, life is painful sometimes. The world is broken, definitely. So much is hard. But the invitation I hear today is not to tough it out, but to humble ourselves to receive. There is a hand outstretched. There is care ready and offered. There is companionship. There is warmth. We don't have to earn it or deserve it. It is just offered as gift. The promise, the real good news, is that God will be with us through it all. Our true challenge is to accept God's offer of provision.